Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Bill, and I'm an alcoholic. I'll start this meeting with a moment of silence. Use as you wish. Thank you. Followed by the preamble. This is what this fellowship is all about. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We're self-supporting for our own contribution. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. And we have no outbound commitments this week. We will have next Saturday, but I'll announce that next Friday. And I believe it was an anniversary on Tuesday night someplace.
Half off.
Okay. I couldn't remember where. 6:30 is a food. 8 o'clock. And I got the CCD Center. And tonight's our big night. Oh, and sadly, those who are not familiar, the restrooms are located down this hallway, down the steps, second and third doors to your right, depending on gender. And if you desire to have a smoke, you've got this back door, and down the steps, and out to your left, into our great smoking room, the parking lot. And now, tonight, it's a great night for this is John T.'s 40th. Yeah. And here we go. I hope this meeting is all any meaning for the moment of silent meditation. Use it as you may wish. For anybody that's new, Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. There are no dues or fees for any membership. We are self-supporting for our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses or opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety.
And Otto Rocky wanted you to press that button. Again?
Okay. All right. You press that. Okay. So I'll say the big announcement and one of the most important announcements tonight is that the food will be over there. You can always hear the same stuff, don't drink, go to meetings, and all that stuff. But the important thing is the food. You can through that door there and come all the way around. And before we get serious here, because there's a lot of us in this room that have a touch of Alzheimer's disease. Yeah. Hi, Tom. Tom. Mike just told me that there's a house in Lunenburg, a lady wants some of their antiques out by midnight tonight. Before we get into any serious stuff here tonight, Willie Mike is here and he's sober 32 years and I want to give him a medallion. Where is he?
Hey, Willie!
Lot of years. Keep it in your pocket because Tom has a market for them. Well, we'll get on with the show, and there's so many here tonight it's going to be impossible to get everybody in. We've got a gang from all over the state here, from the western part of the state, and so we want to kind of keep it down low
And I think we've got to call on Jimmy from Athol because they're going to have the anniversary on Tuesday.
Oh.
And Mike wants to know what's on the menu.
Hi, my name's Tim. I'm an alcoholic. I'm going to have to go buy another hat. My head's getting big. This is I must be impotent. It's good to be here tonight. I was just here last Friday night with the Orange Keep It Simple group, and I got to share a little bit last week, and I'm not going to tonight because, like you said, there's a lot of people here. I met John T. about 8 years ago when I first got sober, and it seems like every anniversary I went to, he was there. And he was either speaking, and he was always in the front of the line. And he's still doing that. You know, he's still sober, though, too. I was up in Winchester on a Monday night. Their anniversary is in, what, April, I think? And John T. almost went through the wall to get in line. So a big guy, he can move pretty fast. A couple of years ago I was here, and I had a little resentment because I wasn't on his mailing list. So I said something to him. And so now I get a letter every once in a while. And, he sent me a letter reminding me about this night, and I got a pass from the wife. That's one thing I have now is trust because I'm sober. And she let me take her car, and it's a nice car. I like driving it. I'm glad I'm here. Thanks for asking me, Tom. And Tuesday night in Athol, we're going to start eating at 6:30. Hopefully we'll have some beans, John. We're going to have a ham and a turkey. And if Craig comes through, last year we had 20 pounds of prime rib. So get there early. Thanks.
Victory's got a sale on them turkey dogs. Like Hudson has. Hudson's second chance. Okay, we got our friend John up from Waltham. Where's John?
Over here.
H. Get over here, John. Get over here up to the next one.
I met John, I'm an alcoholic, my name is John Higgins. I met John, it always reminded me the first time I was there, it was like I was in Ireland. And if you've ever been there, the train travel is little tables. And there was a woman there with a dog, and there was an Irishman there, and he was saying, "Madam, I have ordered dinner, and I don't want a dog at the table." And she says, "I beg your pardon, sir." She says, "I paid for the dog. The dog is paid for the seat, and the dog is going to sit there." Well, with this, the guy's food came. And he says, "Madam," he says, "I told you," he says, "I don't like to eat with a dog there looking at my food." And she repeated what she said. She says, "I paid for the seat. The dog is going to stay there." And that's the end of that story. With this, this American guy sitting there reached over, took the dog and threw it out the window. And the Irish guy, he says to the other American, he says, "Jesus, I don't know what the hell is with these people." He says, "They speak kind of strangely." He says, "They drive on the wrong side of the road." And he threw the wrong bitch out the window. So now you have an idea of the flavor of my Alcoholics Anonymous when I got here, and I'm still sober, thank God.
Talk like somebody from a foreign land. Now we're walking to Palmer. Evelyn is here, and her husband John couldn't be here tonight. He's on duty, so come up and represent the western part of the state.
Hi, I'm Evelyn Alcoholic.
Hi.
A I love coming out here and seeing John T. and the people in this group. I met John a little over 2 years ago, and just to show, you know, how the message gets carried to people is, you know, he knew my husband's father, who my husband was introduced through his father to John T. Is that how it went?
That's right. Yeah.
Okay, sorry, I'm nervous. And the first time I met John T., we went to an anniversary, and...
Don't tell him where.
I won't tell him where, but it's true. He does go to the front of the line, and he gave me all the scoop on how you get to the, you know, get all the food. But seriously, you know, this is, you know, an example of the program, you know, how it works, and, you know, John T., and I came up here with a couple other fellows who have many years, and I feel like I only have 8 years, and I feel like I'm a newcomer because they have so many years. And these are the kind of people that I hang around with, and, you know, and they just show me that, you know, the program works. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Okay. Now, Sean is here, hiding down there, and that's Drew's brother, both Adams, and the poor guy, I met him at one of his first meetings in Southport, and any wax that he had in his ear that night was popped out by the time I got through it. Come up here, Sean, and say a few words.
Oh, thanks, John. Hi, I'm Sean. I'm an alcoholic. And it's an honor to be here and speaking at John's anniversary meeting. It's an amazing thing. I met John, it was a little bit less than a year ago. I was sober, you know, barely, maybe a couple of weeks. And a couple of members of my family are in the program, and that's how I met John. And, you know, like you said, I remember we were in the South Florida meeting, and we spent a couple hours out in the parking lot talking about all kinds of stuff that was really important to me. And, you know, I see John all over the place. Everywhere you go, he's there. And it's just a real inspiration. And it's just been a pleasure knowing you. And congratulations. That's it. Thanks.
The King family. A lot of drunks in that King family. We just grew up here from way up in North Adams. I don't know how the hell they got up in that neck of the woods. He almost got me pinched fishing down there. We went fishing. See, he's even working on the farm now.
You grew up an alcoholic? We must be from the furthest out west. You can't get much further west. But I've been looking forward to this for weeks. It's great to be here. And I think of John often, and it was, you know, I hadn't been to this meeting in probably 10 years, and it was a trip through the past, coming down the steps, thinking of, you know, the cold, dark winter Friday nights, coming out here with the barber and sitting over here with John. And John, from, you know, he had me pegged for the first time he saw me. He'd see me and he'd say, Drew, you know, you got to let it out. You got to let people know what's going on, and talk about the fourth and the fifth step. And you could see that I was carrying guilt that was just weighing me down. And, you know, I listened to him and I started letting a little bit out. And I think of him often when I have a great Thursday night step meeting on Williamstown when we're doing the fourth and the fifth step. And, you know, today I got a lot of that stuff out, and I feel like a much more solid citizen in AA and you know, in the rest of the world. And it's always good to see you. Happy anniversary.
Drew and I went fishing down in Hoppington, and I said to Drew, we're walking on rocks. Imagine me walking on rocks. I said to Drew, there's nobody fishing here. You know, the water is beautiful. It was a reservoir. No trespassing. Can you imagine me getting pinched? My name would be in the paper. Now, there's a fellow that was as sick as Drew and his brother Sean, and he's traveling with the Gene.
Hi, my name's Gene. I'm an alcoholic. I'm a barber shop group. And thank you for putting me in such good company, Gene. The only thing I'll tell you, I met John about 22 years ago. I met him before I met the barber. And he had me pegged right off the bat. He looked at me square in the eye and he said, Gene, under every dress is a slip. That's enough from me.
Story of Gene. When I first met Gene, I was working for the MDC in Boston, and it was around Christmas, and I was coming from Boston, going back to the MDC building in Farmingdale, and I automatically would head out, and something told me to go down. This happened to me twice, where I went down off the turnpike and down there, and there was Gene sitting in the parking lot, and he was going through some tough times, and we spent quite a few hours there. And another Friday, I went down there, and there was a fellow, he's dead now, was talking of suicide. He was going to jump into the Charles River. So we don't question why these things happen. God works in various mysterious ways. Now, four of us started this group, and four of us remained sober. Two of us are alive. Tom and I are alive. And Paul Hall and Alvin, Abe came a little later, and Paul's wife Josie is here tonight, which is quite an honor to have her here tonight. And I'm going to call upon Tom, because you've got to be awful careful when he's around, because you don't know, he's got so many angles going, and he's sober. He's one of the first people that I sponsored when he came out of that beautiful house that was run by Sheriff.
You mentioned Paul's wife, but he didn't mention the beautiful daughter sitting next to her either. I didn't miss you. My name is Tom, and I'm an alcoholic. Four men came on my house about almost going on 39 years ago and took me out of there. John T., Paul O., Alvin G., and that's just three men. And me and John started this group 39 years ago, and they've gone ever since. And a guy told me the first day I came to the AA, that AA works, and it works as long as you want to work. Thank you.
Another man that has an anniversary here tonight, Dick from down way down South Shore. 34, Dick?
Yes.
Where are you hiding?
Right here.
Okay, get your hand. Don't give anybody other.
My name is Dick and I'm an alcoholic. When I came in tonight, all I could see was a sea of people. And I remember the last year when I was here, we all sat down here on this little bench, looked over there. John wasn't there. So I saw this tall fellow, and I asked him, I said, you know where John is? I think I'd seen him last year. And he said, yeah. He said, he's over there by the food. And I said, that figures. But then I'm sitting over there, too. But I met John 34 years ago. And my first meeting when I came back to Attleboro after being in a rehab center in New York, I went to a meeting in South Attleboro, and I met my sponsor, Jim C., and I know you knew Diamond Jim C. And shortly after that, I think I had the occasion of meeting John, and we've met on a number of occasions ever since. As a matter of fact, I was at John's retirement in Auburndale when he retired from the MDC. But my drinking story is just like any of your stories. I went through all the same problems that many of you have had too. And I drank for 22 years, and I went through marriages, and I went through cars, and everything else. But I finally saw the light, and I had 22 years of drinking, and I've had 34 years now of glorious sobriety. And I've had a lot of good things that have happened to me in the last 34 years. And 8 years ago, I had the opportunity to retire. And 4 years ago, I met the third woman in my life. And she is the best. The third is the best. Many of you have been married twice. You need to try it again. Oh, it's just a wonderful marriage. We do everything together. We go to we go to shopping, and we do everything. We go to, I don't know, Tanglewood. We just have a good time together, and sobriety is really a wonderful life, and it's been a wonderful life for me. Thank you very much.
We better get a woman up here. Linda. Linda.
Hi, my name's Linda. I'm an alcoholic. Hi. I have a John Tina anniversary story. I seem to tell it every time, but it was pivotal in my sobriety. I met John Tina, I wasn't sober. And I wasn't very sane either. And someone brought me to this little white house down in Auburndale. It was Paul D. And I walked in and I saw this dear round man. And it's just something, I had street smarts of a sort. I knew that here was a trustworthy person. Unfortunately, I had been the route of mental hospitals, electric shock therapy, Thorazine stuff, all kinds of pills, doctors, usually well-meaning, trying to help me, and sure enough, I had a psychiatrist, and I went four times a week. And I used to leave the MDC and go to her. And I felt good when I left the MDC, and I talked to John. He knew, you know, I should have paid him. He said, Linda, it's heavy. Everybody's all confused. I said, yeah, that's what's the matter with me. And I'd go to her, and I'd come out feeling like, oh, my God. I just, one day she was asking me something, and she said, where is that that you go? And I said, well, it's the MDC. And she looked at me. I'm not from Massachusetts. To me, it was just initials. And I said, there's a man there named John. And she said, well, who is he? I said, his name is John. Well, doesn't he have a last name? I said, I don't know. John T. And she said, well, what does he do? I said, he's an alcoholic. And she looked at me, and I swear to God, she backed up, and she said, God, that's the last thing you need. You know, I looked at her like she was crazy. And it's something that's through to me. I feel good when I am in the sanctity at the Little White House around someone named John T. And that was, you know, this is the place that I wanted to be. This is the place I looked forward to going. She was the place I gave my husband's money to. And I got nothing from it except pills. And I was on pills when I met John T. But what I heard was, you know, if you don't drink, you won't get drunk. Just go in and sit down. It's heavy. Everybody's all confused. He kept moving his office around. I mean, that was so traumatic to me. The furniture kept changing. But, you know, the truth is I've now been sober 22 years. And when I finally made that psychiatric breakthrough, that was all I needed, was another alcoholic. And I'm just grateful to God that the alcoholic that began it all was a man named John T. Thank you.
There was Joe the Painter, young Joe the Painter, used to come in the MDC building with John and Linda and Tommy and all that gang was there, and he'd be up at his therapist up at Newton Wellesley Hospital, and come in one day and he's ranting and raving. He said, that's all my therapist is talking about. He says, it's the kids in school and all that. He said, geez, I'm paying an hour visit on it. So I waited a couple of days and come in, and it was a nice captive audience, you know. We learned this in Clinton, so you drop little bombshells. I said, Joe, I says, how's the lawnmower? What lawnmower are you talking about? I said, the therapist, is a lawnmower fixed yet? What are you talking about? I said, I figured he was talking about his lawnmower or snowblower. And I leaned over and I said, Joe, the answer is good homemade cherry pie. Get a cherry pie, it'll solve all your problems. The greatest thing that happened to him was he got a dog. Tom C.
Tell them about Selby the Shackley.
No, I can't. Kind of sorry for us. My name's Tom, and I'm an alcoholic. And I'm grateful to be sober today. And I feel like I'm going to pass out, so I'm not going to stand here too long. Congratulations. That's the point. Okay. Dan.
Hi, my name is Ann. I'm an alcoholic. And I don't know when it was I met John T., but I know that I knew him for 5 years before he ever learned my name. It was before, you know, he's very intimidating because he'd been sober a long time and he was just scary for me and I couldn't hang with people like that. And I remember when I first came in and it was a man that named Bolden said to me, I'd like to meet Marge and Phyllis and all these people, and I thought, you've got to be kidding. I don't want to meet anybody that's been sober for a while. And so I stayed clear of John. But I've learned to know him and to love him and know that he has done more for AA, I think, in this whole area than anybody I know. Roland from Gardner claims he's done the most. And I feel a real privilege of being here, being a part of this. And congratulations.
Now, next Thursday, we'll be leaving for Middletown, Connecticut for the New England baseball finals. All the Legion teams, and from there we'll head down to Danville, Virginia. So I deputized a man to watch for any prospects in the area. In case there's any kids pitching 95 miles an hour. Richie, get up here and talk. Can you tell these people what it is like to be behind the plate when that guy is throwing that ball 93 miles an hour? Don't tell them about them anniversaries.
Thanks, John, and congratulations on number 40. There's no truth to the rumor that I was 6'3" and weighed 200 when I started to drink. I still weigh the 200 plus, but I lost something along the way. One of the, you know, when we make a gratitude list out in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I imagine a lot of you have had that assignment from your sponsor. If not, I'm going to give it to you tonight, because we lose track of the many things we've got to be grateful for. But other than the closeness I have with my family, my two kids whom I alienated with drinking, and even my ex-wife, we have a very amiable relationship, and all the friends that I hurt, those relationships are great, and I'm grateful for those. But one of the biggest things that this fellowship of AA has given me is my recertification as a baseball ump, and I do tri-county games, I do Legion games, and I did 31 high school games this year, and I've done over 80 games since April 1st, and for a short, fat guy like me, that's pretty damn good, you know. And I'll be 61 in October, so thank God they keep me young, you know. And I can remember a game that I did in 1988. Was when the regular umpire staff of the MIAA, Massachusetts Interscholastic Athletic Association, those umps were on strike, and I had just moved in after my drunken divorce, or my divorce caused by drunkenness. I just moved back into Belchertown, and they called upon me to take the slot of one of the umps that was certified and was on strike, and I had the privilege of doing a game with Mark Wallace on the mound. And those of you that follow baseball know that kid can throw. And I had done several games that year, but I was dealing with high school kids that were in the low 80s to mid 80 range in their fastball. And I saw this kid warming up. He's 6'4". He's a very strong physical specimen. And I saw him throwing on the sidelines, and I said, boy, when he hits that mound, I'm going to get behind the plate and watch a few warm-ups rather than wait for the first pitch. And, geez, I did, you know. And I usually take 8 warm-ups before I start the game. And I got my inside protector on, and I got my mask on, and I'm down like this, and whoop! I'm looking, I said, it's a catcher. I said, you throw the ball?
Man, that kid can really hum. And those of you that have followed his career know that he's had some ups and downs, but a lot of it is due to hitting the fast lane. And I don't want to get into detail there, but most of his problems were not physical, they were mental, and they were caused by some of the things that we do or did. And this is not just a physical disease, it's a threefold disease: physical, emotional, and spiritual. And for many years I was empty inside because I didn't have spirituality. And this fellowship has taught me where it is. And without further ado, all I can say is it's a tremendous honor to be part of John T's anniversary. And one of my closest friends in Western Mass is a guy by the name of Junk. Some of you know him. I've been around for a while. Dominic Nicole Gianfelice. And he said, you can use my name anytime you want, because damn it, by the time you're done, they'll never remember it anyway. So they call him Junk, and he's in the Holyoke Soldiers Home, and he's been there now for almost 2 years. He'll probably live out the rest of his life there, but he's taught me a lot about this fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I got to close, I don't want to take too much time, but I got to close with one story that's his favorite. You know, John told a story. I wish I had that Irish brogue like he does. I can't do it. But I can do a little bit of Jewish brogue, you know, and being an aunt, that helps sometimes. I can remember the story he tells about the Irish priest and the Jewish rabbi. They were very friendly, and so the priest said, Rabbi, he said, why don't you come over to my house sometime? Go into the rectory, and I'll have my housekeeper make us a beautiful dinner. And the rabbi said, well, that would be great. He said, I'll bring my wife this coming Sunday. So sure enough, they came over, and the housekeeper made this great, big, beautiful ham. You know, we were talking about food, too, so this fits right into the picture with John T. Made this beautiful ham, and they started eating, and they blessed it, and the rabbi's looking at me. Jesus, said, you know, Father Murphy, said, you know, he don't eat ham. He said, oh, come on, boy, it's delicious, good. You know, he kept looking at it. By the time he was done, he had about a pound and a half of that ham. And by God, he did enjoy it. So did his wife. So as they were leaving, he said to the Father Murphy, he said, you know what you're going to do? He said, you got to come over to our house, he said, next Sunday. He said, to my wife, we'll fix you a beautiful dinner. And he said, you can bring your wife. Father Murphy says, well, hang on. He said, you know, that's a nice invitation, and I'll be there. But, you know, he says, we can't marry. He said, I don't have a wife. He said, try it. It's better than ham.
What before you drive back? Serious stuff.
Congratulations, John. Thank you very much. 23 years ago, I came to this meeting. John was here. And every time he got a new book on the table, I'd ask him for it, and he'd give it to me. So I became a very wizened alcoholic. And he had all the wisdom, and I had the guts to do it. And glad to see Josie and Paul, so many people in here that I haven't seen for a long, long time. I don't usually go out at night, so I got to sneak the hell out of here before they catch me. As you say, congratulations.
My name is Tom, and I'm an alcoholic. It's good to be here tonight with all the old farts. I mean, old timers. I'm one of the young old timers, you know, Russ and I and a few others. We came this way in our 20s. But John and I see each other, and with my horseshit, went all around the state, and mostly at AA functions, and I call John once in a while. And, you know, we talk a lot about baseball. John's had a lot of games. I saw Rich being one of our high school games. I coach myself, and so that was a lot of fun. But there's one thing I want to, on the serious side, you know, years ago, John said, when he first got sober, you know, when I came in, I heard him talk about, getting sober and in the town that he drank in, Clinton. And when he got sober, he could walk across the street. He could walk down the street without crossing the street when he saw somebody. Spaniel or things like that. Before, probably he had crossed the street, but he didn't do that anymore. And I, you know, that's good when you can get sober in your own town and you don't have to run and you don't have to cross that sidewalk. So that's a big milestone, you know, 40 years. That's a long time. But it, you know, what's more important than that, I think, is being in AA. Period. You know, just being in AA, and we all have to start someplace. And you know, AA is a good place to start. You know, that one day of sobriety. Thank you.
Sergeant Lamb Spray, your report to the station, please.
Practice now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. My name's Bernie. I'm an alcoholic. And I'm grateful to be here tonight. About 20 years ago, I went to a Legion meeting on a Tuesday night. And so one of the Alvin and John didn't call the cops on me. Because I gave them a lot of trouble. Not knowing that Alvin was in the program. I knew John was, but I didn't know Alvin was. But, you know, everybody has a John Q story. My story is the first day of American Legion Convention I went to with this guy. We stayed at the Siemens Bethel.
That's right.
In Park Square in Boston.
And I paid.
He paid dearly. I don't remember much of the weekend, to be honest with you. But John used to have a publication he used to put out. John T. Says, back in the days when you started with the MDC. And I got on that mailing list, and I've been on it ever since. You know, and I got sober 18 years ago, and I haven't had a pick up a drink again. This guy here is a power example. Thank you. You know, everybody talks about food, right? He's got a new inn. He's an installing officer for the next 2 years in the American Legion, and he's the first one in line for food. But everybody, if you would, not this coming, in April of 2004, this guy's going to be honored. So I'll let you know, and we'll have a good time that night.
Oh, yes!
My phone just rang.
Father McGovern, it's from up in the western part of the state. That's from a priest. He wants to know if Tom B. is still honoring that pledge he took at St. John's. Father Gene, Tom, come up here. Don't tell too much about that rectory, though.
My name is Tom, I'm an alcoholic. I remember taking the pledge, and I remember also my dad was trying to get out of Central Park. I was caught. I couldn't get out of that park. But I see Paul Rose White here and his daughter. Paul was a lot of laughs, we guess. And he used to say, you know, when you come here to die, it was a story that I heard when I came around. The fellow sitting on a curb, and he's fawned. He's laughing like hell. And his friend comes up, Pat, what the hell are you laughing about? He said, well, if you knew what I was laughing at, he said, you'd laugh too. And his friend said, well, come on, tell me. He said, all right. He says, before my wife died, she was pretty sick. And she says to me, you know, if you ever go with any other woman after I'm dead, I'll dig myself right out of that grave and come back and haunt you. And his friend says, what the hell is the point about that? He's like, turn your upside down.
You're up.
Somebody with a twang.
Hi, my name's Elaine. I'm an alcoholic, sober, I've known John since I came into Clinton, which was over maybe about 7-8 years ago, and actually, I didn't really know John that well. How I really have gotten to know him is I went back to the STET meetings up in Princeton. And, you know, while we do the one, it's the 1-2-3 step. I've been sober for 24 hours. But, John, you know what? I like going there and I like hearing him because he's always got the same message. It's serious business. It's serious business and it still rings in my head. And thank you for being here when I got here. Oh,
nice.
Thank you.
They're all ready? Well, you can hear the same old story after. I thought they're ready.
Right there, John. like 12 teams.
He did?
He didn't have their paperwork in.
Right.
He didn't have their paperwork.
They were all up in arms. It was on the internet.
It was?
Hey, John, the doctor didn't show up?
I used mine at funerals because at the cemetery they announced apparently the questionable fact to have some lunch out.
I had the jackpot the other day. We invited this back to the New York Country Club.
Right, we hit the jackpot there.
I hit the jackpot 38 years ago when I worked at Forest Park.
One of the youngest members of AA those years, and I would drive up there to see Bobby in an old car. And now he asked me to walk to Berlin on it.
Gene. The band. The band.
real sick and you did too. Ignoring in the
bathroom. True. That's right.
Henderson. See this?
She's lying.
Good.
How are you
feeling?
Well,
the kid looks a bit
nice. He wasn't?
No.
You got the young kid.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, he's gone. I burned his ear for over an hour.
He's probably burned his ear for about 3 hours.
Well, not too bad. The weather wasn't cold.
Then you went out for a couple of hot dogs.
No, we didn't go anywhere. There's nothing open over there. We had a shot with one. I knew he wanted to talk. He wasn't in the mood to leave it. Well, I fired him with a small iron rockets at first and then a big arms.
Funny story, the day that Sean was in from UMass, my son Dan was in from UMass, and I met your mother and father, and my wife admitted, was moving him in, and we went to a restaurant, and Judy's there, and me and her. Now here's Sean, and here's Sober, and my son Dan, 3.5 years old.
Wow, see how the time is?
Yeah,
it's
a
good person, yes.
Great. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Thank you.
a few things, a book, a couple of mugs, so... A Welsh Republic. By four numbers, 0352. Very good. Get up a book, want to come with
Did you
say that number? 0352,
right?
0444.
We got anything?
0683. 0683.0366. Last call. 0366. Gone. Another baby. 0811. 0811. Got it? Okay, come and pick if you want. Okay, Dave. And one more, last one.
You want to see it?
Yeah, I'll check that ticket. 0903. 0903. 0903. Going. 0903. Gone. Oh. 0904. 0904. You got one over here? Very good. Okay.
I'll take
it. Okay, John, by yours.
Okay. Okay, Bill. You're on one of my spiritual advisors.
Hi everybody, my name is Bill and I'm an alcoholic. It's funny, John called me. I came up here with Bob and he has to leave. And we were just going to get up and leave because he has to deal with his wife. I wasn't at all prepared to be called.
You've got to be ready.
You know, I drank for about 20 years, and I have said many times, I quit on my own hundreds of times, but I couldn't stay stopped until I found this fellowship. And, you know, the thing, where I ran into John was at that Princeton step meeting, and I didn't even know John was the chief cook and bookie and, treasurer and all that. For quite a while, and I got to know him slowly, and I, you know, the jokes about the anniversaries and the first in line are, you know, true. And, you know, but the thing about John is he's always positive, you know. All the time I've known him, he's always trying to, you know, be positive. He talks about that, you know, hanging around with the winners, being positive. And I've been going up there for, I think, almost 10 years. I've been sober a little over 10. And in that whole time, I've never seen John blow up, lose his temper, or do any sort of character assassination or anything. Except for once, and it wasn't even a blow-up. It was a guy that had been bouncing in the halls. And we were sitting at that table, and it's a 1-2-3 step meeting, smoking. It's like one of the very few smoking meetings that I know about. I don't smoke anymore, but... And this guy was talking about how he had just gone out and, you know, had some serious troubles. And when it came time for John to speak, he, kind of laid into the guy. And I was surprised, because that's unlike John. And later on, he said it was, he didn't come on to say this, but it was a tough love kind of thing, you know. I've been very fortunate. I made it on the John T. Card list a while ago. And I remember when that first happened, and it was like, ooh, this is nice, you know. And now I get cards, you know. It's usually like, it's a nice card, you know, hi, how you doing, and, you know, glad you're doing well. Oh, by the way, I need you to make coffee on August 28th, September 4th. We're going to, you know, some faraway country or something. And it does work. I'm grateful for that. I've often said, you know, I'm kind of, I feel sometimes like I'm a sponge. I think I've taken more from this program than I've given. I don't get up the podium hardly ever these days. I'm kind of busy. But I make the best coffee in AA in Sterling on Thursday night. I am very grateful that, I know John T. and that you're all here tonight. Because without you, I know I wouldn't be so good. Thanks. Thank you.
You don't realize, but you get the leftover cookies from sometimes you get the milk, too. We have some left over.
Jimmy, do you want to come up here and tell these people what a good boss I was?
Hi, everybody. My name is Jim, and I'm an alcoholic. John T., I met him over 20 years ago now. And, he used to take me to Narcag, Hawk, me to Mount Pleasant in Lynn. And one time he took me to Lynn, and I walked back the next morning, all the way back to Roxbury. So the last time he took me up to Narcag Hospital, Ashburnham. And, you know, I almost called that doctor that night to let me out at 10 o'clock at night, and I didn't even know where I was. But that was in 1982, and I've been coming ever since, you know. John taught me everything I know, even about the anniversaries. I will tell you this quick story, and then I'm going to sit down. Not too long ago, I decided one Sunday night I'd go out to Hopkins Inn. They was having an anniversary. And I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know what church it was going to be at. And it was raining like cats and dogs. And I pulled over, right behind John's car. And that was a miracle, because I didn't know where I was going. John was parked, sitting in his car, and it was raining. So I looked up and I saw the lights. And I said, that's John. So when he started up and pulled off, I pulled off too, right behind him. Pulled up beside him in the parking lot. He said, what are you doing out here? I said, I'm chasing his anniversary. So he takes me in, and he said, you sit right here now, right at the end of the line there. And there he was, you know, and as soon as that line opened up, he was there, ready. But John has been a good man to me, and I thank God. He went down with me, and he met my mother and father before they passed away. And you know, it was great. And he's still a good man to me. And John, congratulations on the 40th year. I didn't think I was going to live to see 40 years.
You keep going to that country buffet on the one down there. No, you won't live on it.
people don't know where the country buffet is. It's on Route 1 after you go by the football stadium. Would you believe that tonight I exchanged season tickets for the Patriots, section 129, row 7, for $2,000? I left the church, got a call on my new cell phone, went over and exchanged those tickets for the Patriots. Imagine that. And I got to be good to my nephew because he's rich. Okay, Richard from Islington. Now, most people don't know where Islington is. Now, they have down there, they have peanut butter and crackers.
If you don't know where Islington is, that's the capital of Westwood. My name's Dick, and I'm an alcoholic and member of the Westwood Sunday Night Group. Yeah, it's good to be here, good to be part of this. You know, I came into Alcoholics Anonymous as a young guy with three little kids and didn't know which way was up. I was so confused, as John would say. And I got over to the, John used to have his office where they rent the canoes now, out in front of the Marriott before he moved into the little white house. And somebody sent me over there, and John put me in touch with a lot of people I worked with, Ernie included, and geez, it's been a great ride ever since, you know. As I say, I didn't know anything about life when I got here. And through wonderful role models like John T., you know, my wife has become less confused, and so is my life. And things have been great. I've learned so much from role models like John. John didn't teach me a lot about the 12 steps, but he taught me about the anniversary lines and big themes and all that stuff. And always when I need it the most, as a lot of you probably do, you get that little card in the mail, you know, you get that little message in the mail from John T. to kind of pick you up by the bootstraps again, you know. It's just uncanny the way he has a sense of wanting to need that kind of stuff, you know. So he's been a wonderful power of example to me, and God bless your efforts, John.
Thank you.
Now, where Mike is generally second in line at the cookout in Templeton, Tom is chairman of that. Big Mo generally cooks that corn with hot dogs and hamburgers. So Mo is down from Ludlow, and he'll tell us the date of that cookout so that people can mark their books. Where is he? Okay, Mo. Okay.
Don't tell him.
The first thing I want to do is I want to congratulate you, John.
No swearing now.
I met John 38 years ago, last April. And I had come off the riverbank the night before, homeless and helpless, and I came to these rooms looking for a drink. I got the best drink of my life at the Alamo Club. And I was sent home that night, all washed up, clean, shaven, to a home I hadn't been to for quite a while. And lo and behold, my wife knew somebody in AA and called them, and there was a meeting at the Forest Park Group in Springfield, and they took me there, and guess who was there? John. He said the magic words, and I haven't had a drink or substitute since. The Chicopee Boys Town took over after he got done talking, and it's been a whole new way of life for the fella that didn't have nothing going for him. I'd lost everything. I've got everything back. I've been retired 15 years. And I was able to help start today's group down in Templeton. September 8th is a free, sober family picnic that's going to occur thanks to Tom and his help. I can't do a hell of a lot but be there and maybe help with the supplies, but it's a wonderful day to bring your family and get united again. And it's guys like this guy, John, that never gives up and keeps spreading the good news. Thanks a million.
Somebody had called me, Bobby Gray called me, and he said they got a big buffet up there at Forest Park. So I had that old two-tone Ford with four different tires on it. Bill is from Palmer. Bill is alive. He got hit by a truck, knocked him up in the air, and I'll never forget the night I went to see him in the soldier's home up there. It was so cold, my hands were freezing at the doorknob going in. It was so cold 2 years ago that I couldn't drive home. I had to get a room on Route 9 up there in Northampton. That's how cold it was. So, Bill.
I'll never forget that, you know. But that's the kind of a guy John is. He came in a blizzard to come and see me in a hospital, and then he had to get a motel room and wait for better weather to get back to Clinton. You know, I first saw John around AA when I first came around. It was quite a few years ago, and the two groups I belonged to out Palmer Way seemed to get a lot of speaking commitments at the Greenfield Hospital. So I actually walked in, there was never very many people there, but he was always there. So I assumed he came from Greenfield. So one day, Junk took me to a meeting in Clinton, and lo and behold, he was a speaker, and I said, what the hell are you doing in Clinton? He said, I live here. Well, John's a great guy to see around, you know, and he hits all the anniversaries in our area. If he misses one, we worry. We always have good food there. But it's nice to be here, and I think John's a terrific guy, and he's been an inspiration to me, believe me. And I want to thank him and congratulate him.
Now we'll go on the other side, and we'll go to Northampton, Stanley.
Thanks, Sam. I'm an alcoholic. Congratulations, John. As everybody else said, talking about when they met John, he asked me in the last letter, how long have they known you? And he couldn't remember. And it was a sponsor I had at the time, took me on a commitment to Gardner. And he died 3 years after I was sober, so it had to be a year or two before that. And so that was about 26 years ago, and all I remember was we went to the meeting, and I think after the meeting, my sponsor pointed John out and said, you know, get his phone number, and I think we came on a commitment here. He didn't give us any directions. So the first time we got into town, I was the only guy with a license in the car, and I didn't know how to get to the meeting, so we stopped at a package store and asked for directions. We got here. That's kind of funny, but I think he's been a like everyone else has said, he's been an inspiration to me, and just like everybody else has said, you know, the card comes in the mail when you need it, when you're, you know, you're having a tough day or whatever, you just been through a long stretch and you're kind of sinking, and you get a card saying, you know, come to my anniversary, come to the group's anniversary, or whatever, and it picks you up, and I think that's how AA works, and he's been working it for quite a while. Thank you, Ken.
Stan's sponsor died, and I remember he was saying, what are you going to do about my sponsor? And I can tell it now because I'm retired, and Mike Dukakis is no longer governor. I was driving NBC number 15, a low number car, and I found out the funeral was held up at the Blessed Sacrament Church in Northampton. And so I headed up, and I went all the way up Route 2 with that car, and I pulled into the Braintree, I guess it was, or up there off of near Orange, and I went in to the gas pumps at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I said to the guy, fill up the car. He almost had a coronary heart attack, because a low-number car like that, early in the morning, put them
off balance. They didn't expect it. And they didn't know me. I had a white shirt. Well, it was fairly white. So they got all excited. I went all the way up 72 miles to that funeral. And the people up in Northampton, they never got over that. But that was in the early years. Things have changed since those years. Now, with most funerals, when you go over there, I had six last week. The family at the cemetery generally say they request you to go back to such and such a restaurant for lunch. So last week I had one in Lunenburg and I hit the jackpot. I went to the Moose Knot Country Club. Guy with me from the airbed says, "You want?" I said, "You lead the way. Show me how to get over to the cemetery in Lunenburg." Okay, John F. from Medford. Be careful what you say now, John. You're recording.
Serious business. One time I ever hear him say that when the dessert menu comes over. I'm John and I'm an alcoholic. And I'm real happy to be here. I love the feeling, just walking down the steps here, you see all the faces, and everyone else is just happy to be here too. And see all these people, and you multiply that by like 10, and you see how many lives that one person has had an effect on. So when we get sober, everybody around us, their lives improve too, And I met John, I've been sober about a little over 11 years, and I met John about 10 years ago, down at the MDC in the little White House there. And at the time, I was talking about confused. I was confused, I looked at the big book, and I couldn't make heads or tails out of it. I had a sponsor who was a great guy. He helped get me sober, but he's getting his fist bites in meetings. He was putting me in the shelf, I was ready to drink, and I remember just praying that morning, I knew about the fourth step. I heard about it. I couldn't make anything out of it, and I just prayed to God for some help, and I remember that morning I went over to MDC. It was a Friday, and they have weekly meetings there all week long except for Friday, When I show up there at 12 and knock on the door and nobody's there, it's all locked up. So I turn around, I start heading down the stairs and the door opens, and there's John and he told me to come on in. I sat down and we talked for about 3 hours, and everything that had been on my mind that day and for most of my life was I was able to come out and just talk to him about, So not long after that, he picked me up and we'd go on weekend trips, and I was afraid not to go, I didn't want to go, but I knew, this guy had something I wanted and needed, and so I'd hang up the phone and he'd say, "Oh, I'll pick you up tomorrow, we'll go to a ball game. And we'll stop over in Connecticut, and I got a friend over there, we'll stop there for the night, and we'll hit a ball game the next day." And so I have to find it, it's true, I'm going. But he came the next day, like you said, and I was waiting for him, and I got in the car, and so he'd get you to talk all the way up there, that was the whole plan. So we hit Connecticut, and he pulls into the seminary, And I'm enrolled in this retreat, I find out when I get up there. And it's not just a regular retreat, it's the seminarians, So that Saturday night, I'm pacing the floor all night. I got a list of things written out, and because I had talked to him, I was able to write this stuff down. And those guys, there was about 10 of them, they were in and out in about 2 minutes, for the confession. And I went in there, I was in there for about an hour and 15 minutes, and the guy's face just dropped, he couldn't figure it out, he says, "How'd you get here? Who's that guy out there?" It's a silent retreat, he's talking to him all the whole time, But it's been a great ride, and it's been great knowing John. I wouldn't be sober without him, and it's great to be here. Congratulations, John.
And like so many others, I encourage him to go back to school and he got his degree. And there's another guy here, he won't go up and speak, but I hope I live to see him graduate from the University of Mass through Jerry. One day at a time, that's all we got. study, stay away from the sick people that are around. A lot of sick people. Okay, Rabbit.
Congratulations, John. I'm Rabbit, I'm an alcoholic. And, yeah, I met John a few years ago, too. My sponsor introduced me to him, Don D. And you know, Don was like John, he would go, Donald would go to a lot of anniversaries also. He was all over the place, you know, and he would drag me with him. And of course, John is a great Legion baseball fan, and I've seen John at many a meeting. And we have a little meeting at the games because, you know, we talk about what's going on. And, you know, I didn't think he'd see me back there. I came in late, and I wasn't even going to come tonight. And I'm glad I did because... it's really a great thrill and an honor to be here to congratulate John on his 40 years. It is quite an accomplishment, and I'm grateful that I'm here, and I'm grateful to have people like John in my life. Thank you, John.
Now, it's impossible to get everybody in, but somewhere in the program, I don't know, I don't go to those big book, the Nazi ones. I tell you, your sponsor got to tell you when you're going to go, but somewhere in the AA program, it says that you got to make amends to people before they die, pay your bills and all this and that, but Ella died very suddenly. He was getting ready to get out of a hospital in Worcester, and they had a bed at home and all that. He passed out in the chair, and somebody in this room owed him some money, and he didn't pay him. And that's Mike. He didn't pay for a spaghetti supper, spaghetti by Agnetti.
Don't tell that story about Phyllis.
You got your shoes on tonight? My name is Mike, and I'm an alcoholic. And I first met John when I was playing Little League Baseball. Which was about 20 years ago. People touched on it. Well, one thing I can say about John, and very seriously, doesn't make any difference where you are or where he is. He can go into a room of strangers and make them completely feel at ease, feel comfortable. It's an act that few people have in the entire world. All right? And, you know, when you're an Alcoholics Anonymous and when you're coming into your first or second meeting, you know how you felt, you know how you feel. Low self-esteem, worried, never fit in anywhere. And you meet John. God bless me, because I came in to my first meeting in the kitchen in that back there, and John said to me, you know, "You, Mike, you've been on a lot of back doors in your life." You know, and that was the AA thing, and that was telling me that I was qualified for this program. And he needed to do that. Because a year and a half before that, I was up at the Clinton courthouse, and I was being charged with a number of crimes that I was innocent. and John said to me in the courtroom, he says, "Do you think you might be having a problem with alcohol?" And I can't repeat to you what I said to him. It was somewhat like, "Are you crapping me?" All right? And so he needed to tell me that I was qualified, and I'm fortunate that I met him at my first meeting, and I've stayed sober since. Thank you very much.
Now, it
it's impossible to get everybody in. There's so many good people here tonight. I can't thank Janet and Dennis enough for getting this all organized. And Rocky is down at some concert. I don't know. He's got that machine underneath here, a sophisticated machine, recording our voices. But this program that we're involved in, and it's just a mystery. It's hard to figure the whole thing. Father John is here, and so many people. Frankie, I can recall traveling with Frankie Mack back there, Jimmy from Maine, and so many people, Rob from down in Waltham, so many people here tonight that have touched my life. And, you know, the last, since I retired, gone through the bouts with cancer and all that, and a lot of personal things. But you know what? You know the mystery of this program? I left here last Friday night going through a lot of emotional things with property since my brother died and all that type of stuff. But you know what happened? 20 minutes of 4 last Saturday morning, the telephone rang. And it was somebody, a young school teacher from out of the area, teaches in the grammar school. And he says, John, I'm on the cell phone. And he says, I'm 10 minutes from your house. Can I come and talk to you? And I said, well, you got me up anyways. So I haven't heard from him in 7 years since I took him to some meetings. And he called me Monday, he was sober, he called me Tuesday. But I got a call at midnight last night, and it sounded as though he was drinking a lot. But the fact I'm trying to point out, I gave him my telephone number 7 years ago, and he had it in his wallet. And he made that effort to call me. I can always catch up on sleep. And if I don't eat for a couple of days, I can always... Bernie and I have a list. We have a list here of American Legion installations. And like AA, we can grade them. Like South Barry did a sit-down dinner. You know, Webster will have a big time down in Webster. But there's so many good people here that have helped me along the line. It's without doubt the greatest miracle of the 20th century. We can't question why it works. But it works. It works on rainy days. It works on sunny days. And I was thinking last Saturday, I had to make a major decision whether to go to a funeral to present the American flag to a veteran or to go to a dinner up at the Sheridan in Leominster. And I made the decision to go to dinner. Not for one reason. The young fellow that invited me was on one of our baseball teams, and it was important for him and his wife to have me there and to invite me. And you're part of society. You're invited to things outside the program, and that's nice. That's real nice. And if we stay sober long enough, Georgie and Tommy and all that gang that for years around this community have touched the lives of many, many people. John Kay is back there, and Gene. Some of the gang used to travel with us, and I don't like to get into personal stories, but Lake Francis up there with the black bears where, and these awful stories, good thing we didn't record them. The guy says, if you want to see black bear, I know they're up where Drew is, up in Williamstown, but the guy says, if you want to see black bear, come out tonight and down at the dump. So we were at a camp at Lake Francis, no lights. I had to go to the outhouse. 10 o'clock. Geez, I go out to the outhouse and all of a sudden it's shaking. These guys went out. They started to shake the house. Then we went up to another party, and it was cold. It opened up the cottage for somebody in there. Geez, no heat in there. Had an electric blanket. John crawled in when I was in bed and turned it on high speed. I thought the place was on fire. So you look at these things that happen. These are friends.
guide you along the way.
And so you've got to be careful. You've got to be careful with some AA people. Those men over 65, be careful.
They're around the north.
Learn all the time. So I want to thank everybody for being here, and I just heard he wants to say something before we close this program. Collection first. And then I'm sorry I didn't get Irish Pat in here from overseas. He's from over in another country, in Richie. But he's here. Next week, come back, Bruce's anniversary.
For those of you that signed the card, you saw the 40 years, it's just when I put the medallion in the card, by the way, my name is Ernie, I'm an alcoholic, I remember the Hudson Second Shoes group, and you wouldn't you know it, you know, the number 40 in Roman numerals was XL. John asked me a number of years ago to sponsor him. And for those of you that were had the opportunity to sponsor somebody, it's really a privilege. I was a little bit leery because John seems to outlive his sponsors. But I said, okay, we're going to go, John. He's been sober 9.5 years longer than I have been. So he said that really didn't matter to him, and it certainly didn't matter to me. And you know, so it's just to watch what he does and what he says and what he writes and how he walks the talk. It's just amazing that I love being around him, as you do too. So, you know, John, my father's almost 83 years old. He says, "How's that wonderful gentleman from Clinton doing?" Because at my mother's wake, he was just so supportive to me and my two brothers and sisters and father. And he says, somebody had mentioned how he could touch a life in 30 quick seconds by saying something wonderful. That's his nature. And I'd like to leave you with a challenge, if you don't mind. And John can comment on that maybe we should do a little bit more of what John does. You know, the visiting to the nursing homes, the notes to the people's homes, visits when somebody is sick, a card when they're sober a number of years, something supportive, whether you say it, or pat them on the back, or make a phone call. But reach out to somebody that you love and that you care about, and somebody that might need your love and support, like John has reached out to you over the years. So, John, we love you, pal. Congratulations on your 40th anniversary.
They say we're going to make amends, and they're going to make amends to Peter W. and Ernie for not those
Patriot tickets. They were so shiny, and they came from Mr. Sullivan in a nice envelope. They were delivered today. I had a sign for them.
Mr. Kraft
was overgrafting with my nephew, day before yesterday, Bob Rebell. And I asked the nephew tonight, I said, what about Bob? He said, he golfs almost every day here. He says, Uncle John, he's got an appetite like you. That's good public relations. So please take some of that cake home to your wives or your kids. Or Frankie, you take some home to be because it's low-cal. So wrap some up. We'll close this meeting as always. Thank you.
Thank you. Our Father,